warm in here today.
Yeah, you're...
I have to take off my sweater.
Your apartment is always really hot.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Welcome to BC is Creepy.
And happy Halloween.
Ooh, spooky. Technically, when we're recording this, not quite. It's October, so it's Halloween month. But it was just Thanksgiving Monday yesterday, so...
What did you do for Thanksgiving?
Well, first I went to a family one with Colin's family, and then the next day I went to the island to visit my family, and while I was there I actually checked out that cathedral.
The one with the bishop?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see anything.
No, you didn't
see the... Ghosts aren't real.
Whatever, Ariel. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, it looked cool. And then we also did the family dinner, but my dad didn't cook it this year. So it was like we went to the home where my grandma and grandpa live, and we got a private room there, and we all just had dinner there.
I stayed home and ordered butter chicken, Thanksgiving chicken.
I mean, I've got a friend who usually does Christmas tacos, so.
Yeah. Nah, might as well, right?
Yeah, if it makes you happy.
It was exactly what I was craving.
Yeah.
So, you guys may have noticed, it's early. It's not Friday.
Yeah, that is because, well, it's the creepiest day of the year, so we wanted to make sure we had something for you to listen to.
And I think we have a pretty special topic, don't we, Ariel?
Oh, it's so special, and it's like, it's not ghosts or anything, but it's like, it's a big topic. It's a biggie. Oh, the research. So... I'm guessing many of our listeners know what the Satanic Panic is.
So I know who Satan is.
So technically it has nothing to do with actual Satanists since they're more so atheists, but the Satanic Panic was this period of time. In some ways it still goes on today because they still, especially in evangelical circles, will be like, we gotta fight the devil! Dungeons and Dragons will burn your soul in hell! It's a gateway!
All that I need kind of six stuff. Jets so we can fight all of these evils.
Exactly! Well, during the 80s and 90s, there was like a modern day witch hunt going on.
Oh man.
Yeah, so there were basically all these different trials of people who had been accused of being a part of satanic cults and abusing children and possibly murdering people and stuff, even though there was no evidence of the actual murders or anything.
Oh.
So we're gonna get into everything in a bit more detail in here.
I can tell by your notes today.
Yeah, how many pages? I think there's between 4 and 5 pages of notes.
Now, for context, I usually run between 1.5 to 2 pages, 2.5, and I think maybe the most we had was
4 for the Nixium episode.
Yeah.
So, turns out the city that I'm from, the Satanic Panic in some ways is kind of our fault.
This like spread like everywhere, right?
Yeah. Like spread through North America really fast, and then it made its way to the UK, and it ruined lives. So, we're going to talk about Michelle Remembers, a book written by a woman and her psychiatrist in Victoria. So, start there. It was written by Michelle Smith and psychiatrist Lawrence Pasder, and I'm going to use this abbreviation a lot throughout this, so SRA.
Yeah.
Satanic Ritual Abuse. That is what this book was all about, and it like chronicled her treatment that she had with Pasder that started in 1973.
Can I ask, like, when you say satanic ritual abuse, what are we talking about here?
Okay, I will say that I do get into like all the stuff that she remembers.
You couldn't see it, but Ariel just rolled her eyes really hard.
Also did air quotes, because people still do those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally, like, vocal fry.
Well, this episode's based on the 90s, 80s.
Yeah.
So I guess you can get away with it.
Maybe. Pasder's private practice was based out of Victoria.
Yeah.
Which we all know where that is. I was just there, like, this morning. So. In 1976 is when he, like, in full started these treatments with Michelle. She originally came to him for treatment for depression that was related to a miscarriage that she had.
Yeah.
So, how the weird stuff really started was at one of their sessions, Michelle told Pazder that she, like, really needed to tell him something important, but she couldn't remember what it was. And then they had another session shortly after where she screamed for 25 minutes straight and then started talking like a 5-year-old.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
And that's when the hypnosis started. So over the next 14 months, they did over 600 hours of regression hypnosis on Michelle. And there's not a lot of evidence to prove that this stuff actually works nowadays. It's very controversial.
Yeah.
Very disputed and everything.
Just a lot of, like, talk of planting false memories and...
Yeah.
You get a kind of all Hannibal vibe. All that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, in the sessions that she had over that 600 hours, Michelle recovered memories of abuse that started in 1954 when she was 5 years old, and it was at the hands of her mother, who had died in 1964, as well as others who were a part of a satanic cult in Victoria.
Does she recall where this cult?
We'll get into the alleged abuse very soon. But it's just interesting that, you know, the main perpetrator, someone who's already dead, so they can't stick up for themselves.
Yeah.
Pazder stated in the book that Michelle was abused by the Church of Satan, which he states is a worldwide organization predating the Christian Church.
Okay.
we're gonna circle around to that later. But the first ritual that Michelle claimed to have attended took place in 1954. Again, she was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And her mom apparently said to her, "You're not mine anymore, Michelle. You belong to the devil."
Okay, well, I'm 29 years old now, and what I can remember from 5 is absolutely nothing.
Yeah, like, detailed conversations like that?
Not even close.
No. Now we get into the torture and everything. So, Michelle claimed that she was tortured, locked in cages, sexually assaulted, forced to take part in various rituals, which included witnessing several murders. She was forced to eat human flesh and was rubbed with the blood and body parts of various murdered babies and adults, and that she had to endure a cage filled with snakes and spiders.
That sounds...
like someone's imagination?
Yeah, a little excessive. Yeah.
At one point, she said that she was bundled into a car with the corpse of a dead victim of the Satanists. Like, she was literally attached to this person, and then the car was crashed on purpose.
Oh.
Yeah. As well, she made claims that they performed a bunch of ceremonies at Ross Bay Cemetery.
I know that place.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's also not very secluded.
Would be pretty hard to hide, like, murder, yeah, rubbing of corpses and eating of flesh.
Yeah. Especially if they're doing it at night, they're going to be having lights, and then that'll get the neighbors started. Yeah. And then another thing was that during a black mass, some members of the cult cut off their middle fingers.
Ow.
Like, with a knife?
No, I said ow, but...
Oh, I think you said how? I'm like...
I mean, valid question. And, yeah, a knife seems like the most efficient way.
Yeah. Well, the last ritual that's documented in the book is an 81-day ritual in 1955 that she claimed summoned the devil himself, and it was called the Feast of the Beast.
Was it Trump?
Sure. I don't know, but...
it's canon. Trump is the devil.
I'll roll with that. And so then this ritual led to the intervention of Jesus, the Virgin Mary, and Michael the Archangel, who removed the scars received by Smith throughout the years of abuse and removed memories of the events until the time was right.
Okay. That's...
yeah.
It's pretty out there.
So now I got a little quote for you.
Is it from the book or...
it's from the book. So because she was, like, talking as a little girl...
yeah.
When she did these recovered memory sessions, we're going there.
Yeah.
"You never see him all at once. He's always distorted
and he's not quite substantial. More like vapor. It turns to look at me, and it's all, I all black. I'm scared.
So that is part of the passage that is in the book that is her encounter with Satan. And upon its release, the book even had a statement from Remy de Roux. He was the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Victoria.
Okay.
Yeah, so he just gave a statement being like, yeah, this Satan's evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got the bishop lending credibility.
Yep. So then, of course, there was tons of coverage of this. We've got one quote from People magazine after it came out when they interviewed Pazder and Smith. And this People magazine says, the possibility of a movie intrigues both Pazder and Smith. They would like to see Christopher Plummer as the Satanist priest and Dustin Hoffman as Pazder. I just had to include that because it's like...
they're already ready to make a movie.
Yeah.
Timely, did it happen?
We'll get... it actually, my notes even cover that.
Nice.
I told you, lots of notes.
All right, I'll let you get to it in time. Yeah.
So then Willie Gutowski, a psychiatrist with the Chilliwack General Hospital, also in 1989 told the Vancouver Sun that Satanist abusers could be found in the ranks of mayors, lawyers, police, church people, upstanding citizens. So this is within BC as well.
From the Chilliwack Hospital?
Yeah.
Where do they get off telling people that?
I don't know. I don't know. But, I mean, we... talked to Mandy in that one episode, and she said that in Chilliwack there was like a house that people were like, oh, Satanists are there.
So Chilliwack is like a pretty central piece to this.
Not really for the rest of this, but I just found that in one of the many articles and thought that was another BC thing to mention, but that's also a very religious town too, so they would definitely be like, Satan's out to get ya! So, in this entire book, it appears that Pazder never once contacted Michelle's, like, family, who are still alive. And the family home was only, like, a really short walk from his office, too.
Yeah.
So it's just being lazy or purposely wanting to skew things a certain way.
Well, I mean, they would be the first you'd want to ask, because they would have evidence.
Yep. So, then Pazder sent Michelle for some medical examinations to try and corroborate all the stuff in the book. And specialists, they found only that she'd likely banged a tooth as a child. There was a rash that she had that she claimed was caused by the tail of Satan, but the dermatologist found that to just likely be a reaction to a toxic weed that was then aggravated by Life Buoy soap.
Counterpoint, the doctor could have been a Satanist. I've seen Rosemary's Baby. I know how far it can go.
Yeah, sure there, buddy. I mean, have you ever researched the actual Church of Satan?
I've seen a couple of their rules. They seem logical.
Yeah.
But they also worship Satan.
No, they but don't.
Not really.
No, they don't. You're talking about devil worshippers. But... and then there's also the Satanic Temple as well, which is another one that's... they don't worship Satan either. So then, on October 27th of 1980, there was an article in Maclean's where a journalist by the name of Paul Gresko interviewed Smith's father, Jack Proby, and he denied all of the allegations against Michelle's mother.
Yeah.
Virginia was her name. And he also claimed that he could refute all of the allegations in the book.
Yeah.
As well, it's noted that the book failed to, like, mention any of her sisters. So she had a younger sister, Cheryl, and an older sister, Tertia. And so if she's getting abused, why weren't her sisters?
Because they grew up into adult Satanists. Part of this conspiracy hiding the whole thing.
And then also, the book doesn't mention that Pazder and Smith divorced both of their spouses and married each other.
Yeah, well, that's a whole... can of worms.
That just sort of speaks to what kind of a doctor Mr. Pazder is.
Well, I mean, they must have gotten close after, what was it, 600 hours of hypnotherapy?
Yeah. So then there was also a book in 1995 that found further inconsistencies in all of her claims. So, first off, there's no newspaper record of the car crash that the book describes where she was tied to a corpse during the time frame of when that could have been.
Yeah.
And at the time, like, the local newspaper was reporting on all vehicle accidents, so it would have made the news.
Okay.
Also, former neighbors and teachers and friends all were interviewed, and they also combed through yearbooks from her elementary school, and they didn't find any evidence that she had been absent for 81 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She had perfect attendance.
Okay.
Yeah. So then there was also a 2002 article by Kerr Coulane, I hope I didn't mangle that, that didn't just explore all of the inconsistencies, but also how really unlikely they are. He noted that it's very unlikely that a sophisticated cult that had secretly existed for generations could be outwitted by a 5-year-old. That a cult could hold rituals in the Ross Bay Cemetery unnoticed, given that Michelle also made claims that she was screaming the whole time, and the fact that Ross Bay Cemetery is literally surrounded by houses.
Yeah.
And it's, like, just a popular destination for people to go for walks and stuff.
Also, it's just very ridiculous to think that a cult would use all of this abuse and still keep converting members. Yep. That doesn't make any sense.
And that an 81-day nonstop ceremony involving hundreds of participants in, like, some massive round room, that couldn't have happened in Victoria unnoticed.
No.
It's not that big of a city.
No. Especially with Satan and Jesus and Mary all coming to hang out.
And none of the other tormentors were ever identified, which you'd think would be pretty easy if a bunch of them cut off their middle fingers.
Yeah, you'd at least have, like, well,
something to look for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Coulane hypothesized that Michelle, her motivation for making all of these allegations, it could have just been her wanting to spend more time with Pazder. Especially since she married him.
I mean, she could have been actually disturbed and spouting off something to try and...
Yeah, but, like, also...
Yeah.
The attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in the 1960s, Pazder had spent a bunch of time in West Africa. And back in the 1960s, there was, like, widespread... People were really worried about secret blood-drinking, cannibalistic cults, which... resembles a lot of the memories Michelle seems to have presented in this book.
Yeah.
As well as the things that she talks about resemble a couple of movies, one of which you even mentioned.
Oh, what could that possibly be? One where they worship Satan.
Yeah, maybe Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist inspired some of these stories of abuse.
The Exorcist inspired a lot of filmmakers and kind of, like, broke the world.
Oh, yeah. And Rosemary's Baby was, like, one of the big ones, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Exorcist kind of revolutionized, like, what you could do with special effects makeup and made that push what you could get away with.
Literally, like, every modern horror filmmaker looks back and talks about The Exorcist as one of their influences.
I talk about Rosemary's Baby more.
Well, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Not even as just, like, horror movies. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay. So now we're going to get into another article that was written. So there was a newspaper in the UK because, of course, the Satanic Panic started to spread to the UK. So they wanted to research what was going on. So they came to Victoria.
Yeah.
And they did a bunch of interviews and stuff. So first off, they reported that the local Catholic Church and Bishop Remy DeRue were attempting to distance themselves from the claims in the book.
Okay.
So a quote from the article, "He wants to distance himself from these people. More than 10 years ago, he asked the couple to provide him with details, but they never supplied all the information he required."
Okay.
Also, soon after the book's publication, Pazder was forced to withdraw his assertion that it was the Church of Satan that had abused Michelle when Anton LaVey threatened to sue for libel.
Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't know we were going to get him in this.
Yep. And because also he didn't form the church until years after the stuff that Michelle claimed happened to her had happened.
Yeah. So it's like a whole new...
Yeah. So it's like, no, this hasn't been going on longer than Christianity.
No.
They don't even actually worship Satan. As well, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police made a statement that there has never been a single prosecution in Victoria for satanic practices.
Okay.
Also, a Canadian author who is an expert on the occult named Jean Kozakari said, there was never any Satanism in Victoria in the 1950s. The most interesting group there were wife swappers.
I could see that being in Victoria.
Yeah. Newlyweds, nearly deads.
But three counterpoints to all of this. Anton LaVey's church that started later is a whole separate entity from what could have been this satanic cult from before that's hidden. The RCMP, as we know from past episodes, are not very good at prosecuting people. And lastly, it's a conspiracy.
Oh my god, Topher.
Everybody could be Satanists.
Okay. More quotes.
Yeah.
So the Mail on Sunday asked Pazder, does it matter if it was true, or is the fact that Michelle believed it happened to her the most important thing? He replied,
Yeah,
that's right. It is a real experience. If you talk to Michelle today, she will say, that's what I remember. We still have the question open. For her, it was very real. Every case I hear, I have skepticism. You have to complete a long course of therapy before you can come to conclusions. We are all eager to prove or disprove what happened, but in the end, it doesn't matter.
It kind of matters. She implicated, like, hundreds of people.
Yep. And also, this kicked off a movement that destroyed hundreds of people's lives.
Yeah.
So, then they also talked to Michelle's father, and he said, it was the worst pack of lies a little girl could ever make up. The book took me 4 months to read, and I cried all the time. I kept saying to myself, dear God, how could anyone do this to their dead mother? There never was a woman on this earth who worked harder for her daughters. There was no hanky-panky or devil-worshipping.
Hanky-panky is the first thing he went to.
I know. I asked my lawyer if I could sue them. He said I would win, but it would cost me $5,000. So instead I took out a notice of intent against their publisher, which meant that if they ever went beyond a literary contract, I would sue. That meant they couldn't get their movie deal.
Aww.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah, but Dustin Hoffman.
We could make a movie that portrays the truth instead of...
Guess so, but it wouldn't be no Rosemary's Baby.
No, because that's a work of fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's three examples that he gave of the lies that were told in the book. First off, there's the infamous car crash that there's zero reports of. Also, the fact that she didn't have, like, any scars from a car crash.
Yeah, that's... just got knocked in the tooth.
Yeah. In the book, she claimed that she had no religious upbringing, and her dad said, she went to church every Sunday with her mother and sisters. The three of them were confirmed together.
But Ariel, church-church or Church of Satan church?
If they're going on Sunday, it's church-church.
When Satanists get together.
I'm pretty sure that they would want to subvert things so that it would be in the evening, not in the morning.
Yeah.
If it's the same day, it's the evening. And if it's... otherwise, they wouldn't do the same
if
thing.
If you know when Satanists get together...
But... devil worshippers.
Okay. If you know when devil worshippers get together, email us at badcookiepictures@gmail.com.
Also, she said that she was twice poisoned during the satanic rituals.
Okay.
And her father said, she was treated for poisoning, but it had nothing to do with devil worship. Once she drank turps and paint mixture while I was cleaning my brushes. Another time she ate shoe polish.
Excuses. Anyways, continue.
I feel like the burden of proof, like, remember, innocent until proven guilty.
She has a lot to prove. I just want to give her a couple of...
You're giving her more than you should. There were all these articles that were debunking so much of the claims in this book, but they were largely ignored.
Yeah.
And Pazder was then considered a leading authority on SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse, as you remember.
Oh, man.
So he was a leading authority in this panic that swept North America after the book's release. Pazder and Michelle went on to tour to promote the book during its release, which was quite the financial success for them and earned them over $1.2 million in present-day money. So the people who really latched onto it were the fundamentalist Christians in the U.S., and they would spread the book around all of their circles.
Because it would make them a lot of money, too.
Yeah. And it just, like, proves what they believe kind of thing. So in the small town of Martinsville in Saskatchewan, more than a dozen people were formally charged as members of a satanic cult that locked children in cages and forced them to witness brutal murders.
What kind of evidence were they looking at for that?
Oh, we're going to get into the kind of evidence that they give that all of these kinds of trials are based on. And some people got convicted on.
Ooh.
One of, like, the biggest tragic cases to happen during this time was the case in 1984 of the McMartin preschool trial. And there were claims that those running the preschool were engaging in SRA with the children there. So, sexual abuse, torture, forcing them to witness murders, all this kind of stuff.
And that's the kind of stuff that really gets Satan going, isn't it? Weird. No.
The investigations and arrests happened from 1984 to 1987, and the trial lasted from 1987 till 1990. When it concluded, it was the longest and most expensive criminal trial in the U.S., and it resulted in no convictions, with all charges being dropped. But the lives of the defendants were still ruined.
Because everybody thought that they were Satanists.
Yep. And, of course, Pazder was brought in as a consultant for that one and was talking to the parents of the children involved.
Oh, man. This guy.
Yeah. In the years that came after the trial, the kids grew up, and many of them stated plainly that their testimony had been coerced, and they knew it was wrong at the time, but they wanted to please their parents and the investigators.
Oh, coerced by who?
By the people interviewing them. So, this book, became a part of training for social workers, training for police officers and everything on, like, how to get kids to talk about the abuse that they experience.
So we have a lot of, like, false memories that they took and coerced out of Michelle, and then using that on more impressionable kids and...
Yeah, using techniques and stuff. Like, Pazder, he was actually a part of the Cult Crime Impact Network, and he lectured police agencies about satanic ritual abuse during the late 80s. And by 1987, he reported that he was spending a third of his time consulting on cases of SRA.
Yeah.
By September 1990, he'd been consulted in more than 1,000 ritual abuse cases.
Oh, man.
With people suddenly being prosecuted for satanic ritual abuse, prosecutors, they were using his book as a guide when they were preparing their cases against all these alleged Satanists.
I'd hate to hear what comes up in those kind of interviews. Like, if we've already got, like, wild accusations of...
Oh, well, there's stuff like...
81-day trials.
Kids being, like, especially for the preschool one, the kids were claiming stuff like they saw their teacher flying around the room, and they would get flushed down the toilet into a room beneath the school where they'd be abused, and they were carried through secret tunnels under the building to places to be abused, which they looked, there's no tunnels.
No.
Yeah. But that's what happens when this book was used as a training material for social workers, especially the ones who were interviewing children in the Kern County trial. In fact, they had received a seminar on ritual abuse recently where that was one of the materials given to them, was Michelle remembers. In Kern County, as many as 60 children testified that they had been abused. And at least 36 people were convicted, and most of them spent years in prison. By now, 34 of those convictions have been overturned by appeal because the evidence is so flimsy.
Yeah.
And the district attorney responsible for the convictions was Ed Jagels, who was sued by at least one of those whose conviction was overturned and remained in office until 2009.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, a really common pattern of investigation emerged with all this. Children who were suspected of being abused, like victims of the satanic abuse, would be interviewed and asked very leading questions by investigators. As the number and intensity of the interviews progressed, children were led into delivering even more elaborate stories of, like, witchcraft, blood drinking, secret tunnels, and ritual murder.
Oh, man. Just, like, writing fiction and...
Basically.
And asking them to, yes or no, did this happen to you?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. In 1992, the Department of Justice actually published a monograph for investigators, which was written by Kenneth Lanning. He was a supervisory special agent at the FBI's Behavioral Science Unit in Quantico, and it debunked a bunch of the claims of systemic ritual occult abuse in America. So this is a good guy.
Yeah.
His report critically examined the often fluid definitions of Satanism that were used interchangeably by a bunch of the law enforcement agencies. Also, they were debunking, like, alleged indicators of satanic crime that were highlighted by police in their training seminars, such as the symbolism in heavy metal music, and oh, fantasy no. role-playing games such as Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh no, not Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and no evidence has ever come to light suggesting the existence of a vast satanic conspiracy to abuse children.
It would be pretty hard to hide.
Yeah, and it's really likely that most of this phenomenon is because of false memory syndrome.
Yeah.
And this is where patients under hypnosis can be led into fabricating elaborate false memories, or in the case of testimony of kids, just being given really leading questions.
Yeah.
So, this book, it's just ruined so many people's lives. And so, it's kind of interesting that I happened to pick this topic for today's episode, because I also was once again listening to the last podcast on the left. And they're now doing a series on the West, on the Memphis Three, or I think it's West Memphis Three.
Yeah.
And that's these three teenagers who were convicted of murdering these three little boys, basically for being the town goths.
Oh.
Yeah. It was claimed that they were, you know, doing a satanic ritual and sacrificing these children and stuff
They were just really, like, wearing black and...
One of them, he literally was just wearing, like, U2 t-shirts and Iron Maiden t-shirts and stuff. Oh. Only one of them was even actually goth. But that was all results of this satanic panic. And luckily, I do believe that they were released and acquitted. But when they got convicted, one of the three guys, he was, like, convicted to the death sentence.
Yikes.
Or sentenced to the death sentence, yeah.
Did he get it overturned?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, people have spent years in prison and could have even been killed because of this panic caused by a book written by a Victoria psychiatrist and the patient he shacked up with.
Oh, man. Okay. Final instance of devil's advocate. Hold on. And I'm really only doing this because I wanted to use devil's advocate and forgot to earlier. But considering a massive movement with graphic descriptions of ritual abuse that spread from Victoria throughout the entire world, you know, UK, the US, and anywhere that's remotely Christian, could this not have inspired some disturbed individuals to go out and practice similar rituals?
I mean, that's a very different can of worms than saying that there's an actual network of everything. There's probably one or two people who are like, yeah, let's do it, man! But that's not the level of conspiracy that is suggested by this. Also, another point for why this stuff was made up. There are not that many disappearance and murder cases to justify how many of these people have been claimed to have been murdered in front of children.
Very good point.
Yeah, if there was all these people being murdered and babies being murdered in front of Michelle as a child, Victoria would have been on red alert with all these disappearances.
Valid.
Lastly, Lawrence Pazder died in 2004.
Good.
Yes. So.
That's a good place to end.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that out there. He's gone. Good. He'd done a bad thing. So, sources. Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It actually had a lot of information on this one. I was surprised. There was SeanMunger.com, The National Post, The Mail on Sunday, which it wasn't an actual website. It was a transcription of the article that they'd written, and that was via Exzepper.org. And then there was the one quote from People Magazine, because their article was very just like, ooh, this book! Ooh! Satanic ritual abuse is real! Oh, there's man. Satanists everywhere!
When was that article from?
Like 1980. Oh. Yeah. And then also the Pacific Standard.
I really like when the real news comes into these references.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the nice things about the stuff where there's lots of things, because then there's real articles that it's like, oh, this isn't just somepersonsname.com.
Heavily investigated by journalists.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that was excellent. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you. Yes. So, this Halloween, if you think that someone is going to kidnap your child and cut pentagrams into their body and cut out their tongues, then bathe them in blood and everything, probably not.
And I mean, you can probably just go trick-or-treating with your kids.
Yeah.
just be a good parent.
Yeah. Unless they're old enough, then send them with a group of friends.
Yeah. Friends that aren't Satanists.
I mean, if the conspiracy is true, you wouldn't know. Right. Unless you were a Satanist.
There you go, Ariel.
But remember, these aren't Satanists. They're devil worshippers. Satanists are very different. In fact, if you send them out with Satanists, they're probably going to be very safe. Because, like, one of the many tenets is not hurting other people. Like, not doing things to other people's bodies without their consent.
I should follow up by just, you should put a link to, when you post this, Satanists and their, like, belief system.
Yeah, I can post both. I'll post a link both to the Church of Satan and to the Satanic Temple so that people can get the real information about Satanists and know that, no, they are not going to murder you and rape you and sacrifice you to Satan, because generally they believe in science more than spirits. Yeah, so we hope that everyone has an ooky spooky Halloween.
Yes, if you're going out, there's lots and lots of really cool stuff happening around BC.
Yeah.
And if you're staying in, there's a lot of cool stuff to watch.
Yep, there's so much stuff on Shudder, Netflix. TV channels usually turn into horror hubs tonight.
Even YouTube.
Yeah.
Even YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, you can look up, don't know where you can find it, but there's the WNUF Halloween special. Have you seen it yet?
No.
You need to watch it because you'd love it.
Is that the one with Tim Curry?
And... No.
No?
That's Worst Witch.
Oh.
No, this, trust me, this is 100% up your alley what I'm talking about. But yeah, watch Trick or Treat. Watch, what's some other good,
really Halloween-y? House is that October built? That's a really good
one. Yeah. If this inspired you and you want to watch devil worshipy kind of stuff, watch The House of the Devil.
Oh, that is such a great movie. House of the Devil.
It's one of Topher's favorites.
Yes, just behind Rosemary's Baby. Although they have a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
And you know what? Hereditary.
Yeah, that would be a good
really,
one.
Really good.
Yeah, so if you want to have a occult Halloween, those are some recommendations of what you should check out tonight. And if you have any suggestions for future topics for us, if you think things in your area are ooky spooky and you're in BC, email us at badcookiepictures@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon. We have a website. Pinterest. We're all over the place.
Yeah. And especially if you go to Patreon, you can become a patron. You can join our Discord that's patrons only, where we're going to start planning doing a video watching all together and riffing on it. We're going to do all sorts of cool stuff. We give exclusive content to patrons that you're not going to get here.
We actually did a little, like, visit to, let's just say we revisited one of our old episodes on location.
Yeah, so. And you're going to just have to become a patron to hear that. But also, if you really like our podcast, feel free to subscribe to it on the iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to it, and B, give us the old raterino.
Yeah.
Or review, or both.
Yeah.
But really only if you like it.
Help us continue so we can give you more content. That's our only goal here.
Exactly.
Really. So, have a happy Halloween and